in the 12th and final part of the opponent preview series, I will preview the Boston College Eagles, our opponent, up in Chestnut Hill, Massachusetts on November 24th at noon on ABC or ESPN. Jeff Haley was a wild card to have as a head coach. He'd never been in charge of a team before, but he was seen as one of the top young prospects in the game after a couple of years as an NFL defensive backs coach and a season as Ohio State's defensive coordinator. He wasn't supposed to start in 2020, but he won his first two games and then nothing. Last year's team went 3-9 with one win over an FCS team, and two of the other losses were by 2 points. Now, it was a mix of injuries, bad luck, and just not good enough. Now he's back for his fourth year, and the team needs something big very soon, and he just might get it. It takes a while for a team to get back on track. Sometimes it takes time for a coach to get the hang of things and put in the pieces they need. And sometimes it takes the right combination of a good core, a good schedule, and a little bit of desperation to get things going. This year's Boston College team should have all that. Now, in the last decade, the Eagles have won 6-7 games 8 times, and they should be able to do that again and use it as a hint of that something bigger could happen in 24. But that's only if the offensive line stays healthy. Now, without a running game or pass protection, the team's biggest weakness could suddenly turn into a strength if the front five on that line stays healthy. Now, the Eagles have 4 starters back with the flexibility to mix and match the lineup. Plus, Christian McGonaghy is soon to be NFL guard, and the addition of Kyle Hurdle from Texas State and Logan Taylor from Virginia from the portal will give them a much better starting five. The Eagles will have all their top running backs returning, but they need more space and the ball to be more effective. Pat Garwell leads the team in rushing with 403 yards at an average of 3 yards per carry. However, they've only run for 6 touchdowns, 3 of which came against Maine. The quarterback will not be a major contributor to this offense, but Emmett Moorhead is a big promising freshman who the staff is very high on. He made a splash in the final month of the season, although he will not be moving much. Backup quarterback Thomas Castellanos, a UCF transfer, can make plays when he has the ball. They also added another receiver from UCF in Ryan O'Keefe, who's a talented playmaker. Now, whom he may not be the next Say Flowers, but he should be able to reach 1,000 yards. The other receivers are all good too, with George Takic being one of the top pass catchers in the conference. That's good for the offense. The problem is the defense was unable to stop the run, and they were unable to overcome the offensive issues. But there are enough pieces in place on the defensive side to make the defense stronger. Now, beginning with the defensive line, the addition of George Rooks, a transfer from Michigan, adds athleticism to the interior, but it'll be the outside that makes the difference. The edge rushers will be back after a 1-year absence due to a shoulder injury. Donovan Zurak, if I pronounced that right, returns after an ACC All-American season in which he made 61 tackles, including 8.5 for loss, and a season-high 14.5 sacks. In the secondary, there is a pass deflection machine in the former corner Elijah Jones, who made 13 stops last year. But a number of transfers are set to take over the secondary. Kyrie Johnson, who comes over from Arkansas, had 25 stops last year, and as a big safety, will be a valuable addition to the already thin group back there. Now on the outside, the linebackers will be statistical stars again. They're led by Vinny DePalma, who had 162 tackles last year, and Ken Arnold, who had 162 tackles as well. Bryce Steele and Jalen Blackwell are good pieces who can get behind the line and make plays. Now listen, the key to Boston College success is simply have a decent running game. That's all you ask if you're Boston College. They do not need to rely heavily on ground and pound, nor do they need to balance the offense if the passing game is performing as expected. However, when you have the second lowest rushing offense in the nation again, that won't do much to help. Last year, think about this. Boston College ran for 100 yards just twice. And those were two of the three games they won. In 2021, the offense ran for more than 2,000 yards with an average of more than 4 yards per carry. If BC can do that in 23, everything will be fine. Now, again, like I mentioned earlier, the most notable addition was Ryan O'Keefe, who came over from UCF. But they did lose Jalen Maitre to Wisconsin and Phil Jurgovich, who's now in Pittsburgh with the Panthers. And that will be a source of interest. However, the loss of Maitre is more significant. Not only was he a large volume tackler, he was able to record 131 stops, 4 sacks, and 19 broken up passes in his 4 years there. On the other hand, when you add O'Keefe, he's an immediate number one pick. He had 184 receptions for 2,002 receiving yards and 15 touchdowns, as well as 500 yards rushing and 1 touchdown in 4 years at UCF. Their quarterback is Emmett Moorhead. He'll be the key player for the team this season. Now, this should have been run by Phil Jurgovich, but the production wasn't there, and he was injured before the end of the year. Now, as mentioned earlier, he's in the Steel City, so it's up to Moorhead, who's 6'5", 240 pounds, to take over and lead the offense after Jurgovich's injury. He's thrown for 1,500 yards and 10 touchdowns with 6 picks, but the running game is expected to be shaky up at Chestnut Hill again, so it's all on Moorhead to get that offense going. The key for Boston College will be the game against Louisville September 23rd. And the schedule won't be too tough for a long time. But the Eagles will have to win some road games if they want to go bowling. They beat Louisville 34-33 last year with their best offensive game of the season. They'll have to be ready for another big game. And if they do that, and then have a home game against Virginia and Army afterwards, they could be looking at a 5-1 record going into that bye week. It could be a great season in Chestnut Hill if that offensive line stays healthy and the defense is able to put up some good numbers against a tough schedule. They don't have to worry about Clemson, and they get FSU early in Chestnut Hill September 16th. There are 8 games against non-bowl teams, 2 of them against Connecticut and Louisville, who both were bowl teams last year. You have 3 wins in the bank with Northern Illinois, Holy Cross, and UConn, even though they got beat 13-3 last year by the Huskies. If they can get the passing game going, and they have a decent ground game, they should be able to win 3 games. And it's not crazy to think they could take all 5 with UVA and Virginia Tech coming into Chestnut Hill and on the road at Georgia Tech, Louisville, and Army out of conference. If I had to look at a prediction for Boston College right now, I'm going to go, believe it or not, I don't think they're ready to win 8 or 9 yet. I think they're going to be 6-6. Now, let's look at this game from a Canes perspective. It's on a short week up in Chestnut Hill. It's likely to be cold up there the day after Thanksgiving. We know this is a dangerous team that will fight to the end. However, I feel this team will be up for the challenge in a tough environment on the road. And it'll be a good way to close the 2023 season with a convincing win victory up in Chestnut Hill and a boost going into the bowl game wherever this team goes. So that's how I look at it from a Canes perspective. Since this is the final part of the series, I want to take this time to thank you all for listening to my opponent preview series, as I enjoy doing these each year. Here's to a great 2023 season, and no matter what happens, go Canes.